It certainly is a blessing to be with you all again today. If you would, turn your book to Romans chapter 12. We have gone through, in a general way, the portions of Scripture from Romans 9, the beginning of Romans up through Romans, the end of chapter 11, where Paul, having taken us through what we are in nature and shown us beyond a shadow of a doubt our depravity, and coming to Romans chapter 8, says that gives us all of the assurance that we need, that we are irrevocably in the hand of God. And then he begins 9, 10, and 11, and he describes the superiority of God and His sovereignty. And then he gives us all a warning in chapter 11, and he says, "Boast not against the branches." He says, "If God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest He also spare not thee." And he's talking about the visible blessings of the gospel. He's talking about God's presence with us, in fellowship with Him now. And, I mean, like in this world, as we live. And he begins, or he ends the chapter 11 by saying, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor, or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." And I'll say a big amen to that too, because whatever you have that's good, it came of him. Anything that you have to give is through Him. Every good thing you have is through Him. And everything that you have to offer is to Him. And then he begins chapter 12 out, after laying down all those foundational principles, he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren..." You know, he's talking to brethren, as he is all the time. You ever wonder why the Scriptures don't really talk a whole lot about where or what happens to people after death, other than just saying they're either, or the death of the wicked? I mean, it talks about them a very few places, but most of the places in Scripture talk about where the brethren go. Isn't that right? This letter, this book is written to the brethren. It's written to God's people. He says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren..." Now listen. "By the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This morning I want to lay down a contrast today between, and I want to talk about sacrifices, but I want to talk about not so much those sacrifices that they had in the Old Testament, because those were not by the mercies of God. Those were by the commandments of God in order for a specific purpose. These sacrifices that we now have, because Paul says that Christ is the answer. He's the answer to your question. And well, if he's the answer, what's the question? Well, the question is, how is a man justified in the eyes of God? That's the question. And Jesus Christ is the answer. And he says, because Jesus Christ answered that, and he made his seed, his people, holy and unblameable and unreprovable in the sight of God, therefore, brethren, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, not by the commandments of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Y'all understand that? It wasn't by a decree that God said, okay, now if you're my children, then you have to do this, you have to be hospitable, you have to give to the poor, you have to be charitable, you have to exercise every gift that I gave you to the fullest extent to experience my love. No, sir. It's not that way. He says, by the mercies of God, and I want to tell you, and what's under consideration here is not a heavy-handed commandment that only has condemnation in it. No, sir, this is service out of love. By the mercies of God, not by His heavy-handed commandment. Y'all understand why you now can present your bodies as a living sacrifice, not a dead one. You know, all of those sacrifices in that bloody service, they gave their lives never to be given again. Amen? Did Jesus Christ give His life one time, never to be given again? It was never to be given again. That's why it said He offered Himself to God once. Once was all it took. Once was all it ever will take. Never is going to be offered again, because His sacrifice was sufficient. You know the problems with a living sacrifice? Well, it's not a problem. It's really a paradox, is it not? It is so, and Jesus said for us to do it, but how can it be that a sacrifice be living? He said, present your bodies a living sacrifice. And you all that are under the sound of my voice this morning have exercised a very small portion of that commandment, of that service, in presenting your bodies here today is a small part of that living sacrifice. Bear with me if you haven't heard, if that's all that you heard that this meant. Bear with me. You see, it's not only acceptable to God that you present yourselves here today as a living sacrifice, but that you present your bodies every day a living sacrifice, that you may prove, that means that you would manifest it to be so, that God has done something in your life by His mercy that drove you to His service. cause you to serve him. You know, what Paul's got under consideration here is love. What he's got under consideration here is service. And he says that your service is not because of fear, but your service is because of the mercies of God. I never really had seen that. You know, these phrases that the Spirit moved Paul, these men to write down, was not there to take up space. I've just read over that before. By the mercies of God. Yeah, God's merciful. I understand that. But why did he put it there? He put it there because this is the reason why you serve. This is the reason why, and the only way that you could serve in this manner. This is the only way that you could serve God, was by His mercy. That you could do things that He listed later. And you know, He says, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, I can just imagine what Abraham thought when he walked up the mountain with his son. I can just imagine what was going through his mind when his son said, Father, I see the wood, and I see the altar, and I see the knife, but I don't see the lamb. A lot of people, they can't see the lamb. Oh my, I want to hold up the lamb to you today. By the mercies of God. And Abraham, being obedient, he drew back that knife, and I believe he was on the way down, and God stayed his hand. And he provided himself an offering. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? He did that because God told him to. But I just wonder what went through his mind you know, it don't take long to do that. But he was willing to do it. By faith. He had already told them down there, I and my son will return. He had faith in God, even if he did do it, that God would raise him again. But I believe that Abraham, as he presented his son before God, was willing to sacrifice him, knowing that however God chose to do it, it would turn out just exactly the way he had promised. Amen? Y'all believe that?
Amen.
I tell you, when we have things that we hold on to so tightly in this world that we're not willing to let them go for the service of God, then we're not trusting Him. And we're really not sacrificing things by the mercies of God. That's hard, isn't it? It's true. It's true. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Isn't that a paradox? A living sacrifice. That means it doesn't happen just once. That means you don't just present your body once. You present it continually on a daily basis, that you go and if you helped out the poor today, then there's another day where they're going to need some help, and you may have to do that again. And it's something that God called us to do, to be hospitable, to be charitable, to be loving, to love our brethren and to help with them out and not just go with them 1 mile, but Jesus said go with them 2. Over and beyond what the law called for. You see the difference? See the difference? He says, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, sacrifice is hurt. Or it wouldn't be a sacrifice, right? Amen? That sacrifices are not something that, here, you can have this pen. It's not mine, but you can have it. It's not doing me any good. It's not going to hurt me for you to have that pen. It's not even mine. Take it. I'll gladly give it to you. Here's a sacrifice for you. The only sacrifice that it took me was the calorie expenditure it took to hold my hand out to give it to you. That's pitiful, isn't it? But you know that's how we sacrifice all the time, isn't it? That's how we sacrifice things all the time. Boy, I tell you, you know, David was on that great man of God. It come to the point where he knew that he had to do service to God. And he came to a man's threshing floor, and his name was Ornan. And he walked up to Ornan and he said, I'm going to build an altar and I'm going to sacrifice to my God. And Ornan said, here's all the wood you need. And I tell you what, David, I'll even give you the animals that you need to sacrifice to God. And David said, I'm going to pay for them. And Ornan said, no, I'm going to give them to you. And David said, wait a minute. I'll not sacrifice to God that which cost me nothing. Y'all get that? David said, it's not a sacrifice if it doesn't cost me something. It may cost you some time. It may cost you some plans. It may cost you some pain. It may cost you some friends. It may cost you some money. It may cost you your status. It may cost you your life. What did Paul say? Paul said, I'm willing to both spend and be spent for you. What I'm talking about today is real discipleship. That's what Paul's talking about, is real discipleship. Sometimes we get out of sometimes we have conversations with folks and it wounds deeply. I had one just yesterday of a lady whose husband had died, and all up in that time she had family members that called her and said, I'm going to come to the funeral. And some of them were preachers that called her, and she said, don't worry about it. You didn't come while he was living. No sense in you coming after he's dead. You can't help him now. You know what? She wasn't talking about me, but it convicted me nonetheless. Do you understand? Real discipleship is not in what you say with your mouth, it's what you do with your hands. is what you do with your heart. It's what you do with your substance. How many sacrifices have been given and made by the mouth? A few. David talked about the sacrifice of his lips in giving glory to God. Yes, that's one. But Jesus also talked about lip service. Oh, we can give lip service. It's the easiest kind, actually. And it's probably the most prevalent. Lip service. You got me? Paul says that he didn't say to present your mouth a living sacrifice. He said to present your body a living sacrifice, holy. You know, it's a holy sacrifice. It's something that is concerning His kingdom. You know, they could... You think about this. I mean, He's going back and He's talking about all of those sacrifices that they gave back and under the old system where they had to, and they were under a heavy commandment of God to do so. And God said, you present a lamb of the first year without spot, without blemish. The best kind. And if you... You know, that's why Jesus ran them out of the temple. One reason. Because they were, number one, selling pitiful sacrifices. People didn't have enough, didn't have sacrifices. And what they would do is they would bring those, they would come to offer their service to God and they wouldn't have something. And the people would say, no, you need a better sacrifice than that. And they would change their sacrifice and sell them a better one. And then they would take theirs and recycle it and sell it to somebody. That's heinous in the house of God, is it not? How often do we judge people's sacrifices as not being good enough and yet we do the same? Same principle. Same principle. Paul says that we ought to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, a holy one. That means it's concerning holy things. That means it's not... It doesn't have an agenda. You got it? It's not a fabricated kind of sacrifice. It's one that's from the heart and driven by the Spirit. It's a holy sacrifice. It's not one that we have and we try to prognosticate. Maybe if I do this for them, maybe they'll do this for me. That's not a sacrifice. That's an exchange. A sacrifice is something that you give that you don't expect to give back. To get back. Or it wouldn't be a sacrifice. You get it? He says that this sacrifice has to be holy. And this sacrifice has to be acceptable. You know, if we present our bodies a living sacrifice, it needs to be a holy and acceptable unto God. You know, it can't be those kind of sacrifices that aren't acceptable to God. He didn't deal with it well then when they didn't offer good sacrifices, and He doesn't deal good with it now. Holy and acceptable unto God. Have you ever offered something to God that was not acceptable to Him? I mean, in your body, have you ever offered something to Him that was not acceptable? I think I have. I think I've offered things to Him that really weren't even part of the... It wasn't even wasn't acceptable to him. It didn't have anything to do with being holy. But I called it a sacrifice, but it really wasn't. Y'all ever done that? Maybe you haven't. I think I have. You know what Paul says about this sacrifice and this whole business of presenting our bodies? He says, that's your reasonable service. He doesn't say that it's your remarkable service. He says it's your reasonable service. And it is a service. You know, I'm amazed how many times that we say, well, I hope y'all have a good service. And I do hope that people have a good service. But you know what? The service that you have to God doesn't begin and it doesn't end in this church house. Is that too harsh? I think not. I think the Bible tells us, yeah, this is a watering hole for us to get rejuvenized, but if we're going to give our bodies a living sacrifice, it needs to be from Sunday to Sunday, not just on Sunday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and every hour of that day, a living sacrifice unto God. I'm not saying you can't have fun. I'm not saying you can't go on vacation. Goodness gracious, I'm fixing to go visit some folks we know out in Las Vegas. And I plan on meeting with the church there. And I pray, and I want you to pray that we'll have a good service. But I pray that while I'm out there, I'll present my body as a living sacrifice unto Him. I pray I'm doing that today. I pray you'll do it today. I pray you'll do it tomorrow and the next day and the next day and every day from henceforth until God calls you home. And then on that day when you've done all, that you could just proclaim, I'm just an unprofitable servant. But maybe the Lord will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, you can be a good and faithful servant and still not be profitable because you've done your reasonable service. It's not unreasonable to God for you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And it ought not to be unreasonable to you. Why is it not unreasonable? Well, I mean, why is it a reasonable thing that you would do that? It's reasonable because of the sacrifice of Christ. You get it? Of the sacrifice of Christ. That's for us to always have the sacrifice of Christ in view, that He gave His all for me. He took all of my sins, not just part of them. He took all of my sins and all of the accusations against me that Satan could ever bring, and He nailed them to His cross. And He rose again for our justification. And He rose again to give us a great hope. And He rose again to let us never be discouraged. You get discouraged? I do too. But I don't really have a reason to be discouraged. I'm not over your sacrifices. I'm just over mine. I can't get discouraged when y'all are not providing yourselves a living sacrifice. I can't get discouraged about that because I'm not the... I'm not over that. I'm not in control of that. You are. I can't get discouraged if I don't. Well, I can't get discouraged, and I do get discouraged. But you know what? That doesn't make the sacrifice of Christ without effect. That's why He calls them the mercies of God. By the mercies of God. And you could insert there, by the sacrifice of Christ, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. That's a big one. You see anybody doing that today? I'm guilty. Are you guilty? Yes, you are. You know what being conformed to the world is? That water is conformed to that cup. Whatever form, whatever container I put that water in, it's going to conform to whatever shape the container's in. Paul says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't fashion yourself after the manner of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do you know what transform, that word transform there? It's metamorpho-o. It means a metamorphosis. Something that happens and nobody can watch. You know, the inside of a cocoon when a caterpillar goes out, and goes in, and a butterfly comes out. That's a metamorphosis, friends. And you, by the power of God, are metamorphed, or morphed, or however you say it, you're transformed from being conformed to this world to the renewing of your mind. And that's how you get transformed. Say, I don't care what this world does to me. I'm going to serve my God because He's all that matters. He's all that matters. This world is not your friend. Can I say that twice? This world is not your friend. And whatever the world would sanction and approve of, I'll tell you today, it's against God. Whatever the world says is all right, God disapproves of. Amen? Amen. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you know what? Paul talked about this. He talked about the body and the mind. Back in 7, I believe, he said, I then find a law that with my body I serve sin. He said, but with my mind I serve Christ. So what are you going to sacrifice? You're not going to sacrifice your mind. That's already doing the good stuff. Sacrifice your body. I never thought about that till this past week. I always wondered why Paul said, with the body I serve the law of sin, but with my mind the law of Christ. You know, we still have the natural part in us. That's what he was talking about. The natural part is the part that you're supposed to crucify and mortify in this life. Is the lust of the flesh. And we have a lot of them, do we not? Food's one of mine. I love food. I love eating good food. I love eating food that's not good for me. It tastes good. I love it. It's a lust of my flesh. And if I was to choose that over being godly, I'll have to put that down. That's just a pitiful example. But we have other lusts of the flesh, don't we, that really take place of godly things, don't we? Paul says, with my flesh I serve the law of sin. With my body, with the mind I serve the law of Christ. He says, that present your bodies a living sacrifice. And he says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The mind is what helps us when we think on these things, when we meditate about God's Word, when we think about how good He is to us. It drives our service because of love, not out of fear. Why do you serve God? Are you serving God because you're afraid He'll strike you down? Are you serving God because you're afraid that you won't get some good stuff later on? Is that why you're serving God? He haven't given you the spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. A sound what? A sound mind. How did He give you a sound mind? Well, the Spirit of God gave you a sound mind. Have you ever seen anybody that didn't have the Spirit of God that had a sound mind? I don't know how that delineation happens, but I have known a lot of folks that didn't have a sound mind. I'm going to read the rest of this. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove. Y'all know what that prove means there, that we you may demonstrate. I'm going to tell you just a little bit about this. You know, David, when he was over there and the Philistine army was down in the valley and they kept on giving him all that, all the challenges. Goliath would come out there. David said, "Hey, I'll go out there." And Saul said, "Hey, you're just a shepherd boy. And this man's a man of war from his youth. You can't go out there." And he says, "Who's this man that would defy the very armies of God?" And David and Saul said, "Well, all right, I'll send you out there if nothing else will do you, but you're going to take some of my weapons, and you're going to take my shield and my coat of mail and my armor and all." And David said, "No, I don't need all that. I ain't proved it yet. I just take my sling. I know how to use that. I know how to use my sling. I know all about it. I can hit that door handle back here with my sling saw. I don't need all your stuff." You see, he had proven his sling. And you know, he had demonstrated the ability time and time and time again that he knew how to use it. And you know what else? David had confidence in his ability. Do you have confidence in your ability to present your body a living sacrifice? Has God proven to you that He'll take care of you no matter what you sacrifice? Has God, have you given Him a chance to prove it? Ouch. Ouch. That's a hard one for me, too. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think himself of himself more highly than he ought to think. That's the number one thing that you have to do before you really can give your body a living sacrifice, is to not have so high of opinion of yourself, but to think soberly. Do you think with your body or do you think with your mind? You think with your mind. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, that means run away from it, that means hate it. Don't have any dealings with things that are evil. Cleave to that which is good. You know, you're supposed to leave your father and mother and cleave unto your wife. I preached a wedding yesterday, and you know, and I get choked up at weddings because I see Christ in the church. Cleave unto that which is good. Hold on to her. Don't ever let her go. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Are these easy? These are not easy. That's why they're called sacrifices. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Sometimes even that's a hard one, isn't it? Somebody's so happy and you just can't get excited for them. You're supposed to rejoice with those that rejoice. And weep with them that weep. That's another hard one, isn't it? Somebody ever come to you with a problem and you're just like, I ain't got time for you. How you doing this morning? Well, I just got a lot of things going on in my life. Well, all right then, I'll see you later. Is that a sacrifice? No. I'll tell you that the days that I have asked God to open up a door that I might share something about Him or be a blessing to somebody, guess what? He's opened one every day. Every time. And you know what my prayer is always? God, give me the courage to go through it and give me the time to do it. And guess what? He always has. Always. You want to live a life of discipleship? Pray that prayer. You want to live a life of discipleship? Not only pray the prayer, but when He opens the door, go through it. Talk to somebody about your Lord and what He means to you. Comfort those that weep. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Don't pass by. You never know. They might be seeking the Lord. And they might just come to church weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. That means folks that are lower than your estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. That means don't seek revenge. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible. Sometimes it's not, but Paul said, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you. Live peaceably with all men. Like I said, that may not be, you might not have it all to lie in you. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. It's not yours. It's not ours. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, because it's the Lord's business of vengeance, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And that's, we talked about this before, that's not in a bad way. You're not treating them good so that they'll end up being bad or that it'll turn out bad for them. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. The doors of this church are open for reception of members. You may come during the song service. May the Lord bless you this week to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God.